pain.
It's like my dreams out of reach. This pain and all this grief. If you see God and you have to speak, tell him it's crazy in these streets. Feel my pain and you're so deep.
Yo, I'm Pastor Phil. Welcome to Church on the Block, real talk about hip-hop, the church, and the streets with my great co-host, Pastor Jay and Ruck Boy on Holy Culture Radio, Sirius XM. Yo, what's going on? You are on the right channel. That's right, Sirius XM, channel 140, Church on the Block, Holy Culture Radio. We are back at you. Happy New Year and everything. This is the second Sunday of the year, man. Can you believe it? We are like 14 days in the new year. I hope your 14 days have been, you know, fruitful, or if they've been challenging, guess what? They've been building you up so that the rest of your year is going to be smooth, Pastor Jay. And so being able to know that there's going to be a light at the end of the light, you know what I mean? But don't take what is happening right now at this beginning of the year, super spiritualize it and be like, oh, I'm going to see this the rest of my year. No, don't do that. Just walk boldly in the midst of whatever else is going on in your life, good, bad, or indifferent, or challenging, or whatever the case may be. Don't overthink it. Don't underthink it. Just walk in it. You know what I'm saying? Because so many times we'll get stuck in that one spot and we'll look and see everything's orange, but everything ain't really orange. You just took that one orange perspective and you ran with it. That's my little thought for the beginning of the show. What's going on, everybody? We here with our great host, man. What's up, brothers? What's going on with y'all, man?
Man, you're trying to get deep right off the bat of the show, feeling nobody ready for that, man. We don't you talk about the whole world orange. Anyway, what's up, y'all? It's Pastor Jay. Glad to be on the show with y'all. Glad to be back. 2024, Church on the Block. You know what we're doing.
Yeah. Yo, what's good? This your boy, DJ Ruckus. Official pa, as they would say in Ghana. Happy New Year's to you all. Let's do this.
That's what I'm talking about. Official pa. You know, we got a great friend on the show with us today, young brother, man, who, man, we just connected from Jump Street. It was almost as if we grew up together. You know what I mean? In some regards, we did because of the kind of connection with the neighborhood and stuff like that. But great brother, man. And I mean, the impact that he's already been making and has continued to make is always blown me away with people who don't look like him, don't act like him, don't come from what he's come from, and how he's gotten in that world to help train, school up, walk through some things with people because of his own journey and his own impact. God has used him in a powerful way. I want to introduce to some and present to others our brother, our friend, Reverend Dr. Pastor Troy Evans. What's up, Troy? What's up, man?
Hey, what up, though, man? Yeah, man, thank you all so much for having me. This is on the call with legends.
Yeah, man, we grateful. You're a legend, man, and the work you've done, man, being able to and from my perspective, man, you've done the work so powerfully and humbly that it's almost like when people want to get a diamond necklace somewhere and it's only stored somewhere, or they want to get some eggnog and it's the only eggnog at this one store, they will find a beaten path to it. That's how your ministry has been to me, as I've seen. It's like, yo, what is going on over that way? How do we get over that way? And how do we replicate that? And just the move of it has been so like beautifully organic, beautifully impactfully organic. That's a new phrase, right? Beautifully 2024. That's how we're coming. And so I want to just have you to share a little bit about your story, man, and what God has done through your work. Talk about your book, as well as, you know, planting a church and then passing that baton on to a young brother and wife who you mentored in that space, man. So break it down. Tell us where you're from, all that. Yeah. Break it down, Troy.
I always say I was born in Grand Rapids, became a man in Detroit, and then culturally raised by a Catholic from Chicago. So I'm just like all over the place, right? You know what I mean? So it's
Say that again. Go back and say that again.
So I was born in Grand Rapids, became a man in Detroit, and culturally raised by cats from Chicago. So through, you understand me?
All the way through. I love that.
You know, I think it was John Eldridge says that your greatest passion often comes from your deepest hurt. Your greatest passion often comes from your deepest hurt. And for me, it was just
true,
you know. When I was out there clowning and everything, doing my thing, it was just like, man, I wish that there was a place that that cats would, yeah, you know, put me in check, you know, being involved with things. I understood structure and organization, that was in discipline, and I understood that. So tell me, give me some direction. Man, let me in the door. You know what I'm saying? Let me in so we can at least establish that. So after I, you know, went and was in Detroit doing my thing, studied, I went to a church. I turned my life to Christ, but then went to a church, and the pastor got up and said, yo, you're going to have to, you had an army full of young cats. And he said, yo, y'all are going to wait for me to die, you know, saying before you get your space in the pulpit, you better find your ministry. And so I shot down to a homeless shelter in Detroit and planted in my first church in my 20s, you know, and I just started doing, you know, pre-praying for those people, you know what I'm saying? I'm 23 years old, just doing ministry, man. And as a result, ended up falling in love with people. I didn't love people a lot, but that caused me to start to like people and real people. And so then I opened an IT company, made a lot of money, then I didn't have to be there, so I went back to Grand Rapids and to plant my second church, did that. And then middle of that, my nephew was murdered, and then that nephew I brought to the house actually.
In Grand Rapids?
Yeah, he was murdered. They never found his killer. But the only thing I could think about was like, yo, so if I didn't exist, and I'm his uncle, but if I didn't exist, then where would he go for church? If what we do didn't exist, where would he go for church? And it took me up. I got angry with the church, you know what I'm saying? And I couldn't find like what that looks like. So we ended up that and some other things happened. We ended up closing that. It was a small church doing big things for Jesus kind of thing. And we ended up doing that. And I went in hiatus. Make a long story short, ended up connected with this mega church. And the dude was what he was real. And then they took me out of their wing. They didn't exploit me when I was hurt. I had a couple talents, and they didn't exploit me. They just allowed me to heal. And then one day I just told them, idea. I said, I met this guy, some strange dude in Lawndale. They failed, you know, in this church, and they did what I think I need to be doing, you know, and I laid out literally what I knew of the house, you know, what I seen produce. And then they said, tell me more. And it's predominantly white denomination. And, bro, I went into this meeting, no joke. I was working for the American Red Cross at the time. Running the IT department, so I'm corporate out, you know what I'm saying? But I walked into this meeting, I was like, y'all gonna have to turn me down, bro. I went like this, you know what I'm saying? I had on my, I was like, I went like, I was good with it. I put it on my New York accent. What up, son? You know? You know what I mean? I started doing everything to push them away. Like, if y'all can't receive me, y'all not gonna be able to receive the cast that I'm talking about. And he's like, right. Tell me more. And so, right. So we ended up planting the Edge Church with the two supporting churches behind us, which is the EDGE is the acronym. We suck at 3,297 things, but we think you're good at these four, which is evangelism, discipleship, spiritual growth, and holistic empowerment. First, we bring them in, then we sit them down, mm-hmm. raise them up, then we send them out. That's literally all we preach about. That's all we do. So we started to do that, and that's what we basically living out. Like, man, a place that I would like to have had when I was a shorty. And a place for my nephew to come. That's what we built.
Yeah. 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 And when did you start that? When was the movement of that? I mean, it started from your heart, you know, way back and all the things that were going on, but like actually jump it off.
Yeah. So 2008,
when you jump
we started the traditional church planning process, 2008, and we launched in 2009.
Man, that's a nice building. That's a nice building. I've been in that spot, man. That's a nice spot, you know?
Yeah, we started off in like a spot of one way in and one way out, black walls everywhere. And then and we loved it. And then we ended up going to this other spot.
Okay. When I came up, was it still in the other church? Because y'all were meeting in the like one of the partnering churches, right? Before.
No, that was our spot.
Or was it like an event or something like that?
No, that's the spot we had just bought. We had just purchased that building.
Okay. That was cool. So, like, what do you think, like, I mean, I know you mentioned about, it was your nephew, right? Your nephew who was killed? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What do you, like, folks thinking about this kind of effort, right, to dive into ministry and looking at the church like they may see it, you know, in their own world, in their own space, and say, man, there's got to be something different. In addition to that motivation from family and the murder of that situation, was the, I mean, we know it was the Lord in the midst of that, but like, there's a level of staying power and a level of faithfulness and a level of edge that has to almost be in a person, like whether you're going to start a business or whether you're going to start a ministry or non-for-profit, that overrides all the talk or all the dry times and things like that. And sometimes it's the motivation. Sometimes it's that motivation that, like especially around ministry, I cannot. There's a generation out of here that I really want to see led to the Lord. I mean, I may be hitting on some of the same things that were there for you, but what was it for you in those spaces? In addition to the motivation of
yeah, I think going into business with a solid. After I became an engineer, I ended up opening up a IT staffing company, and you know, I just had to sell from several other companies after that. And I think I was really thankful that I had a solid Christ following soldier that discipled me in business. And one of the things, I forget his exact words, but basically. He said, if you establish a business chasing money, it's going to fail you. But if you establish it based on meeting the need, it'll never fail you, right? The whole idea is like, and that's the premise of any business heart. Every good business person would know that. It's like, so what is the need that you're meeting? And for me, it was doing that when I started planting too. I'm a businessman. I'm a doughboy became businessman that became pastor, right? So it's like, for me, it's like, let's make sure we love people. Make sure that that's impacting people's lives. So I need to be close to the dirt. And just start, every time you see me, Phil, I'm wearing a y'all cat. You know that. I need to be close with these cats that are the most gritty, so that I can remember, like, yo, you know, this is why I'm doing that. And that keeps me sane, right. And it kept me in the fight, I believe.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there is an edge to that. There's an edge to that. Ah, you know, in regards to how folks would be like chasing a particular paradigm of what they believe is going to sustain church and faith and things like that. And after a while, that stuff just can suck the life out of you, right?
Yeah,
but in the midst of that other motivation, that there is you know, there is something more. There's something more in that. Brothers, what do y'all, what are some thoughts y'all have? I mean, Pastor Jay, you're pastoring and been pastoring for a minute, and in your world, in your perspective, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so glad you're on here, Troy, man. Yeah, I think just real quick for me, the question would be, you know, as you think back over what you wish you would have seen or experienced your journeys of faith, you know, because I tell people long before they have a connection to church, they have some connection to faith and some kind of faith journey. What is it as a pastor you're trying to embody or show young folks who are, who connect to you and what the work you're doing that you didn't see when you were younger that you're trying to put out there as an image?
Man, that's a great one right there. I think, you know, big one was, you know, you had these men that were, I don't know what to say. I mean, they're like cowards, bro. Like, you know, we was shooting. I mean, you know, there is, you know what I'm saying? Anything that was breeding, bro, like it was, you coming up the street and right past the church, they fly. You know, and these dudes, they just basically sitting up. They were more concerned about me pulling on my pants and taking off my hat than they were like, yo, this young cat that literally hadn't eaten in 2 days, literally. You know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't know that I always had entrepreneurial abilities, but they never could see past the suit. They just didn't get close enough. So for me, it was like, no, I'm gonna get close. I got to Yeah, that's I just wish that that was when I was younger coming up. I wish that that was available. But cats really wanted to get beyond the veneer of this tough guy and really get down to that. This is dude that don't have a debt.
Yo, I'm done. But one of my favorite moments when I was pastoring my church in Inglewood was a guy came in our church, and one of my deacons at the time walked up to him and was like, "Hey, man, you got to pull your pants up for you coming here." And he looked at him and said, "Dang, bro, if you'd have been looking in my eyes and looked at my face, you wouldn't have seen my pants." I'm out.
Stop.
I'll never hit that moment. I will never. What it mean?
Woo!
That's what your story reminded me of.
Man, Jay.
Yeah.
Woo! That's cold.
Yeah, I said the same thing. That's there was cold. A lot teaching up. What it means to love. You know what I mean? So.
Right. Now, you were pastoring then or youth pastoring there?
I was a pastor then.
Jay. Man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know, I used that for a month straight in a sermon series of Look at My Face. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right. You come. You came sag with. Come on. You came with the pants down to your knee. Say something now.
I was like, yo.
Yo, I told you about the time I preached at this church. I'll tell y'all in a second when we come back, man. Church on the Block, man. Real talk about hip hop. The church in the streets, man. Channel 140, CSXM Holy Culture Radio. We are here with a great host, DJ Ruckus, Pastor Jay. Pastor Evans, we're coming right back at you. Hold it down. Tell him it's crazy in these streets. Tell him it's crazy in these streets. If you see God, you have to speak. Tell him it's crazy in these streets. On the Block, real talk about hip hop, the church, and the streets on Sirius XM, channel 140, Holy Culture Radio. We've been about that life for about a year or so, a little bit more than a year. We thank you for listening to us, man, every Sunday, 9 a.m. Central Time, which is the only time that really matters, and then 10 East Coast Time, blah, blah, blah. But we are here. And we want you to listen, want you to involve, want you. We're going to do some things this year, some challenges, get folks to share their bars and put them on the air with us and some ideas that we want to run by. So hang in there with us. Check in with us on our IG on Church on the Block. But man, I was about to say, talking about churches and preaching and things like that. Man, I was at a church, wanted to see the pulse of the church. I was there for a youth revival. I came on a Sunday night. It was a Sunday and Monday and Tuesday. I came from Chicago. Now, the youth pastor, the pastor, and I knew what I was about to do on that Sunday morning. I got in a suit from the thrift shop, got some Old Dog, Mad Dog 2020. Old Dog. I'm thinking of the movie. I got some Mad Dog 2020, poured it all on the suit. I put the suit on. I'm standing out front of the church talking about, hey, I had Mad Dog in a bottle, in a plastic bag. Well, I mean, you know, I just want to know Jesus, blah, blah, blah. And I'm out there. Somebody gave me $3. You know what I'm saying? And we praying for you. And people was coming through. Finally, the usher was like, can I help you? I mean, I just, you know, Jesus, man, go to church, man. Just want to go, you know, get God. I was just saying fragments all over the place. He brought me to the bathroom to wash up. I'm like, okay, I'm going to wash up. And I had this hat that said Miller Time. This book had said Miller Time. And then he's like, well, man, we're going to sit you know, on the balcony. Where the youth pastor dude came in real quick and took the hat off. And he stuck the lapel mic in the hat. So I grabbed it and folded it. The usher dude didn't know. He's like, no, man, we're going to have him sit right here. He's going to sit down. And so I sat down. And when they stood up, I sat down. When they sat down, I stood up. It was all this opposite stuff, right? And the pastor talking about it's the year of evangelism. You know, they witnessed so many people this year and blah, 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 blah. The pastor introduced me, and I stayed in the crowd. He introduced me, you know, brother's going to be for the evangelist for the next couple of days. And then Pastor Phil Jack, blah, blah, blah. And I stood up. I said, what the hell is going on? I said, this is a church about evangelism this year, and y'all can't even talk to me. And I just say all that because the intent was, hopefully I wouldn't have to have said any of that because the church would be like, man, come on in here, man. What's your name, Joe? How you doing? You wouldn't have to worry about if my pants are sagging. They would look at my face, you know, like you were saying, Jay. They would look at who you are as a human being. And if they were not careful themselves or not close to Christ themselves, they would recognize you. I'm a few hours from being out of here with you. If I'm not close to Christ, I'm going to be out here. So that level of awareness of your own, immortality, that you'll be like, yo, bro, what's up? Matter of fact, don't go to church. Let's shop it already. Let's go get something to eat. That kind of stuff I was really looking for. I was like, yo, this is the church I'm going to come to. I ain't been back there forever. I mean, I think they're still doing their thing. But I just say that because it takes it takes another level of courage, I believe, to really recognize the pulse of the culture, the community of what's going on, right? And then being able to come back and say, okay, God, where is it that, you know, and how is it that we would bring the gospel to this culture, this community? Brothers, what do y'all thought? What are your thoughts?
I'm sitting here thinking as you're talking, though, like, as we try to lead, you know, lead in this kind of realm of where we do ministry, I think the question I have or the thoughts I'm wondering about is we often are looked at as like outsiders or looked at as doing like niche or novelty type of ministry or like, you know, that's for them or that's cool where you are. It's not looked at as though like central to like what God's doing in the world. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, even Troy, your book's called The Edge, right? And so if people mind, it's like, oh yeah, he's on the edge. He's doing stuff way out there. Like, how do you respond to that? Well, like, you know, to me, I look at the ministry of Jesus. You know, and this is what I was thinking about. I was talking about the book, like, and Jesus spends all of his time doing that kind of stuff. So he's not on the edge. That's the center. The edge is the like fluffy. You know what I'm saying? How do you respond to people who like, well, that's good for you, you know, and we'll support you on that kind of stuff, but us normal people over here, we're doing this. Like, how do you respond to that, man? I know what I say, but what do you think?
Yeah, I think contextualization is always relevant.
Word.
Right. It's so it's just true. Not, it's a bar. You know, for these special people. I know that I suck, and God is awesome. I'm in desperate need of him, so it's not about me, no way. I ain't doing jack. He's doing. And so I don't even have to be from the context and still be effective. So it's not about any of that. It's like, where are you? How do you reach people in that context? And be about that. And if you can find, yeah, that's how I approach it. I was just like, man, being it's not so it's you know how it is. It's like we're having services on Saturday nights, and it was just like people. Oh yeah, this is our Saturday thing to do.
Right.
Where everything it takes to be, we are the church. Look at Acts 2:42 through 47. Please, you know, do the checklist, bro. Like, this is.
Right.
It's good for the kids. And like, man, I'm a grown man with grandkids. What you mean it's good for the kids? You know what I'm saying? At what point is the scripture relevant for everything? Right. If I just got up and read it and sat my butt down, it's an. You know what I'm saying? It's more sufficient, you know? And so it's for some reason, I just feel like because of the street rap that is in, and you know, with hip hop and culture, and we're doing this. I don't understand it. I just think it's always relevant to contextualize.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's interesting to me that contextualization is like a buzzword for people or like a, you know, like a new thought or something. I'm like, what? The only way we've ever done church is contextual. Like,
let's get it, man.
The only way you do it. Paul is not like, oh, you in Philippi, you know, but you know what I'm saying? Y'all should just go over to Ephesus, look at what they do.
Straight up.
Bring over to Philippi and do that. No, like, he's writing letters back and forth to people in a specific context at a specific time. Then there were specific issues. So this idea of contextualization and like needing to speak to people where they are, I don't understand how it's so foreign for folk, but it really is. They really want to niche you and say, well, that's for that. You know, like, no, I just don't live where I live.
Imagine this, Jay. Like, I feel like it's only when it comes to urban hip hop culture that we think about it that way. We're not talking about that when we're coming home with bongos, you know what I'm saying, with the, you know, when you go, if you go to any other country, you know, you're gonna learn things not to say, things not to do. Don't cross your legs because this is what it means to the elders. You learn all this stuff, and we brag about it and come back and do all this stuff. It's just only when it comes in our own backyard that we have a problem.
Real talk.
That's when it becomes a problem. We understand it from white to black church. It doesn't matter. Fully understand contextualization when it talks about international ministry. But when it comes to ministry at home, because we just don't like it, we don't understand because you don't understand it. Whereas just don't write it off. No, they get it.
Oh, they don't want to.
Just be a bit of buck, man. This cast don't. No, right? Because ain't that difficult.
I mean, I like what you said. I think by my, they just don't like it. Like, it don't fit their norm, right? They don't like it. It makes them uncomfortable. You know what I mean? And so you hit it on the head. We can do it overseas because it's novel. It's, you get privilege and honor. And oh, you went to Africa. You went to China, right? You went across the track. You know what I mean?
It's fascinating. You know, I spent some time in England, 2.5 years doing work in England. I started church planning a network there, Urban Church Planning Network. And just learned a lot. But man, it's like, it's fascinating. These dudes took, like, what we know as our hymns and stuff. They took pub tunes and changed the words. Like, some of the well-known hymns, Wesley, right? Like, these are well-known hymns that changed the words. But now they got a problem. It's like, oh, you got a problem with hip-hop.
Right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, you got a problem with, because you don't like the rhythmically what it's doing, but this is your sacred hymn you're singing, bro.
Right.
It's come from a bar.
Right.
So.
Exactly. Like, the fact that folks took time to be relevant in their culture, in that space, to bring folks understanding faith in that context, however was received, you know, was embraced. But because, you know, in the context of hip-hop, or even just the hip-hop culture and the edge of where people are in the context of hip-hop, or what hip-hop presents itself to be sometimes in those spaces, it becomes, this can't fit in that box. It can't fit in that box. You know, it has to be for something else other than that, you know? And it can't just be gimmickish, like you're talking about, Jay. You know, all that stuff's gonna fade away after a while, you know? I mean, what would be some things that, like, if a young man says, hey, I wanna, you know, plant this church, engage in ministry, man, my people out here, these young adults, they don't really get it. They TikTok heads, you know, or even if it's that they do get it, I want to bring my culture, my community back to church. What would be some with what's happening now and you know, generation ebb and flow and context, but what would be some key elements that would be significant for a young person to think through as they're going to plant or start or rebirth a spot?
I got a few. I think my first one would be, don't do it alone. I don't know what it is. How many Christian hip hop groups do we know?
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's something, this division, this separate mindset, believing that we can do this alone is something that is prevalent, and I think we need to fight against that. Go in twos. There's some power in that, but then go in twos in all different ways. So it's like, are you being coached and mentored? Do you have a peer mentor group, and are you mentoring, deciding somebody else? All three of those at the same time. When I say don't go alone, then I would say, I would say this is more practical. This is me. I come from the IT world, but when I'm not thinking strategic, it costs you money. That's just the way it works. If I start just throwing out ideas and start just implementing, Microsoft's trained us to be people, process, then implementation. Mm-hmm. In that order, just chill. It's sitting in my brain. So, because if I jump from people to implementation and not deal with the strategy and systems and how to do that, it costs organizations lots of money. So, for me, it's like in an urban context specifically that we do, because that's where we think. It's like, let me think. Yeah. Let me do it. Stop for a minute. Pause. Breathe and develop a strategy. Learn how to do strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And don't tell me how. If you're not take that bag and go from a 20, get a dub, to get a 16, to get a quarter, to get front of another quarter, get a half, to get a half, get an ounce.
Jay Z gave the breakdown too. I turned an ounce to an ounce.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We know how to do it. It's just like, take the moment. We got the most important message on the planet. Stop, pause, plant. You know, that kind of thing. If you don't know how, then learn how to do strategy. I'm more than happy to teach somebody how to do it. And then make disciple making. I know this is very redundant, but was it Barna and Navigators? They did a joint. They created a baby, which is the number one disciple makers on the planet, and the number one researchers on the planet made a baby. I did it because State of Discipleship, right? And I was there during the reveal at the Navigators Mansion or whatever. And it's like one out of four Christians have ever made disciples. That would have been about 5 years ago.
And it was Christians.
Yeah, so if you go on Amazon, it's called the State of Discipleship.
Wow.
Yes. One out of four Christians have ever made a disciple. Mm. But here's the catch here. That one out of five have ever been discipled themselves.
That makes sense. Makes sense. They can't do it because they ain't been discipled. Yeah.
And what pastor will get up like, I don't know how to make disciples. They're not. They're just not. So then we just perpetuate, keep this thing going when nobody's making disciples. When we're in this fake, where America, according to National Baptist Convention, 250 million people in America that do not confess Jesus Christ as Lord, making America the third largest mission field on the planet.
Right.
Hemorrhage me. You know, I don't even know it. So I would say get to the basis of making disciples who make disciples. Teaching them to open, anything else, throw away all the books, burn them, and then say, but teaching them to obey everything I commanded you to do,
right.
You do nothing else.
Right.
And then I think get back to those basics, and we have young cats, every young cat can do that. Teach somebody John 3:16 until you learn something.
Right.
Make it so sick and complex that nobody can do it, which is anti-discipleship, if it's going to be duplicatable.
That's true. I mean, some things... discipleship is core foundation. Like it's like the fundamentals, right? But folks have, if you're not doing the fundamentals or creating spaces for those fundamentals, then you find then the cats are trying to do some moves that they don't necessarily have the skills for, but they saw it or they mimic that, but they lose the ball. They get stripped because they haven't been grounded in those fundamentals. Because whether it's a fad or whether it's, the pressure of societal situation that they feel they got to jump into that particular bucket. I mean, these are just my thoughts off the cuff as you're talking about that. Because to do discipleship, you need time, right? You need intentionality. You need a directive of where you're going and how you're going to get there. You talked about process and implementation. I was at a funeral just the other day, and a pastor who discipled the brother who passed, the guy was asking for it for himself. He was like, "Man, let me meet with me once a month." No, pastor, I'm gonna meet with you once a month. And he began to just walk with it once a month. It just caught on. It's that level of commitment, and then training other people to do the same thing to be able to grow. Disciples in that space, man. I mean, I think some of the complications that we're seeing even in America, spiritually, socially, in issues of injustices are around the fact that we haven't got folks discipled in those spaces, because truth can speak to power as you disciple and ground it. And you can do it in a way that's smooth, like, bam, and he just smacked me with the gospel, but I didn't even know it on this political platform. Dang. But somebody was discipled to school him up in that spot. Man, this is good. Yo, we getting this information for the free. Because typically, Troy charging about $100,000 just for this information. Yo, Church on the Block, man. We will be right back. Channel 146 XM, Holy Cope Radio. Hold on. Stay right there.
They're making it hard to sleep. If you see God and you have to speak, tell them it's crazy in these streets. Crazy in these streets. If you see God and you have to speak, tell them it's crazy in these streets.
Yo, we are back, Church on the Block, Channel 140, Holy Culture Radio, Sirius XM. Thank you for being with us every Sunday, 9 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Eastern. We want to continue to grow what we're doing. Hit us up on IG because we want to know the different topics that you think we need to be real about that we may not have touched them yet, but just had a conversation with us. So we got some more conversation with our great friend, Pastor Troy Evans, great brother, great leader, man, humble cat, man, making an impact in such a way that it's like when you get smacked in the face with it, then you like, how did that happen? The impact in the kingdom of God is happening in Troy's ministry through areas in Michigan, areas all over the globe, and then some individual cats who are just growing in spaces that are taken from his discipleship into the world in different spots. We want to hear a little bit more about that. But we're going to talk now about like, what you're doing now. So TJ Ruckus.
Yeah. So Troy, I was, man, I've had the pleasure of reading your books up several years ago. One of my favorite books, as Phil cracked the joke offline, he said, that's the only book I've ever read in my life. But man, I just remember your book had a lot of gems on it. And I know this is 10 years. This is celebrating the 10-year anniversary of your book release, man. Are you doing anything special? Or go ahead and tell the people, man, how they can get your book and what you're up to now.
Yeah, man. So I appreciate everybody supporting. It's been amazing. I'm just a knothead from the Midwest, man, just trying to reach people for Jesus, and just having guests like Phil, you know, put his love in the book. Appreciate that.
Phil didn't read the book, though. He didn't read it. Somebody else wrote that for him.
Hey, let me forward it. That's all that matters.
I read the book with the knob on it. What you mean? I got it before you got it.
we released the book, and it was literally, we were making the plane while we were taking it in the air. You know, and so I think that was the good part about it, was that it was theoretical in a lot of ways. You know, I had, 10 years of ministry prior, but it's still, we had never done that. And then, but then now, with the 10-year re-release, what we ended up doing is going back and looking in retrospect and talk to people like Steven and people that were there in the beginning to say, well, what about this was true or wasn't true? And so there, we had a few chapters at the end of the book on that. So, what happened is through the edge, we started 18 companies that's owned by youth and young adults. And I know we hired about 400 youth, legit giving them jobs to work, you know, through ministry and stuff. But out of that, we started a church planting entity called Nitrogen. And then basically Nitrogen is an urban church planting entity that we work with denomination districts and churches. And we exist to teach, to equip the church to do the work of urban ministry. And so we do that through recruiting, assessing, coaching, training, and networking. And then we just help churches get it done and get it cracking and hopefully not make as many mistakes and hurt a lot of people in the process.
Okay. Is there a chance of a part two to this book? Are we looking at another series or a new book coming? It's been 10 years. You got some more stuff.
I know, man.
About. I'm pretty sure.
My thumbs hurt, man. I don't know how these cats are writing on these books, man. But we got a couple things in the works, man, just as we're learning things. I'm trying to get some of the young guys. One of my learnings is that I always bring young cats with me, but I think by God's grace, we're able to sell a few books, you know, and so that makes it a little bit easier for me to walk in the door. And then walking by themselves. So I think I'm going to do some more co-authors with cats to get them in the door. And so we almost done with the Hustle, Pray, Eat book, was a company that we started. So that might be the next one, I think.
All right. How can people get a hold of your book, man?
Yeah, just go to TroyEvansSpeaks.com. TroyEvansSpeaks.com, and it's there. I believe it's on Amazon as well.
Thank you, bro. Thank you for that update.
Sir. Thanks for reading it, bro.
Thank you for that, man. How long did it take you to write the book?
I'm not a great writer, so I did a lot of talking and then I did some research. So that was probably like a 6-month process, and then working with the person who helped me put it all together.
Yeah,
that took another about 5 months, just because I'm just But I had a good team. I chose to go with a smaller publishing house so that I can learn the game, because they're like, I can walk in there and go talk to the people, talk to the publicists, that's so I can understand. And so that was a great experience doing that. That's probably why it took a little longer.
But that makes it more real. And I think now that you know the process, now you know how to go for it in the next move. Yeah. Yeah. Pastor Jay.
Yeah, so Troy, quick question, man. An insight, just let me hear your response to it. So we did a whole bunch of shows this year kind of talking about and celebrating the 50th anniversary of hip-hop culture and its impact on the world as well as its impact on the church. And
you know, as somebody, you know, who's been in ministry that has been, you know, geared towards using hip hop culture, geared towards hip hop culture, and as well as embracing it, I'm just wondering how you respond or think about the notion of hip hop church, hip hop culture being more included in church as a whole, not like, you know, people saying, oh, that's right. A mission field or that's a group
right.
of people. But like, if hip hop is 50 years old, that means that now, you know, depending on your right. congregational size and who's in it, half of the folks in there have been raised with and during a time where hip hop was the most dominant culture in the world. And so I just wonder your thoughts about like what it looks like for a pastor, just pastor of the church. I mean, ain't nobody coming in hoodies and shell toes and nothing like that. But it doesn't mean that they didn't grow up with hip hop as a dominant. I mean, you can't, everything is, hip hop right. sells everything. Every commercial,
right.
everything that you can't go anywhere. You can't buy a car. You can't do anything without hip hop being engaged in the combo. So I just wonder like, what we need to be saying or discipling pastors or leaders to recognize about the impact of hip hop on their current congregation, not just on the hip-hop industry, kids, but just in general, and how you respond to that and maybe what you're saying as you're training and teaching and doing your work.
I think you said it, man. I mean, literally what I was going to say was, you know, it's to remind them on how hip-hop it's not a song. It's not it's culture. You know, say it's culture that has wrapped this. That has, you know, that this is something that we can truly, truly say that is Black American culture, African American culture, is one of few things that we can say like this 1,000% belong, and it's something to be proud of, right? And to cast one off and do some wild stuff with it. Okay, we got keys that roll off and do wild stuff. You feel me? So it's just like, yeah, it's some good, do some wild stuff with it, but just acknowledge that. But I would say it's some things that those of us that do that are a part of, and we do have churches that are focused on that space. That's something that I think we can do better. Is that we have to challenge the status quo of making hip hop as a specialty thing in the church surface. Because we continue a problem, we help them to create us. Oh, we're going to do this, and then we're going to do the real worship. So what we try to do, you know what I'm saying? So what we do is I'm responsible for culture. When I was the pastor, I'm responsible for to make sure. No. We're not dividing this. It is worship. Is it in spirit and truth? That's the question. You know, and if that's the case, then let's shut this down. Let's worship. You know, let's not separate these things. Okay, we don't have to start with a slow song or a fast song. Make it make sense from lyricism wise. That's hip hop, right? Make it make sense. I think in terms of the MCs, the artists, what we got as challenge is that we're losing our saltiness. The artists, they're losing. So then they just, oh, the church won't let me in. No, you ain't saying nothing, bro. you're worth being thankful.
Boy, you finna get it.
You know what I'm saying? It has no purpose.
They don't like
my phone number is. You understand? Be like, I ain't going nowhere. Well, I say no. Like,
right.
The thing that cats need to let it get, it's losing the saltiness, and it has no purpose. And so I think what happens is then saying, hey, put me up here. And you're really what you're asking a youth pastor, whether that's the main service, you're saying, can I shepherd your congregation for the next 3.5 minutes? You have nothing to say. And please stop preaching. I didn't call you here to preach a message through the way that I'm going to preach the message. I need you to preach the message
right.
through the God
right.
that you put in your song. Oh, you don't have any of that in your songs.
Yeah.
I get it now. That's why you have to preach. Do what you're there to do in that 3.5 minutes. Yeah. Bump.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Phil, I was... Troy, we had the opportunity to do a panel at Moody Bible Institute a couple of years ago. Me, Pastor Phil, and our boy Terrence Gasner, who is a DJ as well, and DJ Rock On. And I was just telling my wife, I try to stay away from comments and like, you know, what people are saying underneath videos and posts and all that stuff. Because I don't, but it was interesting, man. Like, somebody reposted a clip of what I talked about on there, and called me. And it was called Woke Preacher Clips, right? Like, Woke Preacher. And they took what I was talking about hip hop and, like, put it out there completely out of context. Didn't even hear none of the rest of the panel, just that one little part. And I talked about hip hop being a representative of God because, you know, God is for the marginalized and the oppressed, and he stands on the side of the marginalized. And boy, these folks meet up in the comments about, you know, this idea of God being, you know, on the side of the marginalized. And they wanted to go through the Bible and talk about all the times when God was on the side of the powerful. And, you know, okay, anyway, my point is this, like, as we think about the theology of hip hop, right, and we think about, like, why we as pastors would allow hip hop culture, music, themes, all that to permeate our pulpits, to be a part of our preaching, to our, like, as learned and educated brothers, what would you say is the reason, what is the theological underpinning that connects hip hop to what you do on an everyday basis as you do ministry?
Yeah.
Because that was a question that was asked to me to see, you know, what you.
If I understand right, I would go back to, I think we have a discipleship. These cats have not been discipled in the word. And I think a lot of times, I mean, I'm guilty, especially because I you know, I make disciples, but I run so fast. I forget that other number. I forget that other cats. We're always telling people to make disciples and go there for, as you go, make disciples, but we never tell them how to make disciples. So we too have to stop and then to really show the artists and those who, the pastors who are discipling these artists, and that, like, okay, this is how you pastor artists. And Phil would have the textbook on that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how to do that. I don't know if that's answered the question, but I think it goes back. It's a discipleship issue. Because our theology, every discussion, whether it's giving, whether it's serving, whether it's your missiology, everything, that's discipleship issue. How you view your theological quadrilateral is a discipleship issue. And we have to help. We have to go back there. We have to go back to the basics.
Yeah. No, that's good, bro. Holistic discipleship is what, you know, we're all talking about. For those who are sitting there going, we do disciple. We don't just really teach people to quote the scripture. We're talking about how does that impact their everyday life?
Yeah.
Like, what is it going to mean for them when they live outside of a church building to have to be on the block with their homies? But how is that learning John 3:16 then permeate through their life? So I asked that question because I just feel like sometimes the church is fighting against each other for no reason. You know what I mean? And I just don't understand it, you know, but I appreciate your thoughts, and I'm 100% with you, man. Discipleship is such a key. We got to get back to it, but it's got to be holistic discipleship. It's got to be discipleship, not just around learning scriptures and how to pray, but also like where you spend your money and who you vote for. Yeah. How you think about, you know, how things happen in a neighborhood and what it looks like, you know, to raise a family well and to be a good father and a good mother and to deal with it when you've done your many issues on your own. Like, all of that. But I think sometimes we just feel like we just have a Bible study and a prayer meeting and we didn't disciple someone.
Yeah, so, right, yeah. Right. I think the gap of that has caused people to say, I can separate my life over here and what I'm going to do for the Lord over this way. But our life intertwined in Christ is what discipleship is. It's that roughage, it's that muck and the mire that this stuff really, really needs to happen. But there's too many models and examples of some of that. I mean, we're going through it now. I'm going to say it once and I ain't going to talk about it no more. But whatever's happening with Puffy and whatever's happening with TD Jakes, whatever that is, this. It's a bunch of believers that are going crazy
with
some stuff. That's like, where is Jesus? Where is the fact that we are? I don't know the background. I don't know about the freaking party. What's happening? But it's like,
it's always Bill. It's always Bill.
It's like, we getting way off the mark, man. We getting way off the mark. Oh, man. So today, man, we got Jay dropping these bars. Troy, man, it's a blessing to be with you, man. Always, man, just fills my heart, man, being with you as a brother in the faith and the ministry that you got going on. I'm looking forward to, man, as we're going to accelerate some more moves together, man. Looking forward to how we're going to connect together. So thank you for being on with us.
Likewise, bro. Thank you. Good to see your faces, man.
You too, man. Looking forward to you being on with us some more.
Stay on the wall, Troy, as I held this.
Yes, sir.
Man, stay on the wall.
Man, Michael Jackson, baby, get off the wall. Get off the wall.
Okay. Oh, man. So, Phil has given me the opportunity and the privilege to do bars today, so I'm going to drop a quick story. And this is super simple. It goes with what I was talking about earlier. There's a story of two men who are riding a tandem bicycle up a real steep hill. And it's like super difficult to get to the top. They have been pedaling and pedaling and pedaling. And it's like, man, it seemed like with two of them pushing, it should be much easier to go up this hill. But this is like the hardest bike ride they've ever had. They get finally to the top of the hill after pedaling for hours and hours and hours. And the front rider looks back at the second rider and says, bro, that was such a tough ride. Man, that was hard. And the second rider's like, bro, it was hard. I'm sure glad that I was keeping my foot on the brake because we might have slid backwards if I didn't. The bottom line is, to me, this is what the church is doing, right? Like, we're supposed to be pedaling in the same direction.
Yeah.
Right? Some people might be in the front, people might be in the back. Some people might be riding this bike, some people riding this bike. But the problem is, because we don't thinking and because we're trying to play it safe or we're scared, some of us arrive with our foot on the brake and actually fighting against or working against each other and making the fight more difficult. Y'all, stop. Take your foot off the brake. Stop trying to tell other people how they're supposed to do ministry. Stop trying to niche them. Stop trying to tell them they can only do this. Let's work together and realize we're all trying to glorify God in whatever contextual space we find ourselves in. Let's not work against each other. Let's work with each other. And let's keep representing the kingdom. Y'all, thank y'all so much for listening to Church on the Block. Right here on SiriusXM Channel 140. We out of here talking about real talk about the hip hop, about the church, and about the streets. This is your boy, Pastor J. If you see God and you happen to speak, tell him it's crazy in these streets. Tell him it's crazy in these streets. Tell him it's crazy.